Good morning. Thank God for another privilege we have to come together, share together in His house. Immediately following our service today, we are going to be having lunch. We invite everyone to stay. If you can't stay, as it was, I tell you, I really enjoy that children's moment because it really ministers to me. But all the proceeds are going to go toward to help people that are not as fortunate as we are today. Thank God for His grace. Amen. Thank God.
Big children anyway.
Ma'am?
Just big children anyway.
Amen. Let's go to John chapter 13. I want to tell you as we continue our study, I have been in the ministry quite a while, and I thank God for speaking to me because I know that I don't take it lightly, this opportunity to come and minister to you. It's an assignment from God. My life is His. But I can honestly say that I've never had Him speak to me as strongly in our series as He has during this time. This past month, we've been dealing with results. We've been dealing with revelation. We've been dealing with where God is carrying us in our direction, serving through revelation. We're talking about results. And I pray that your heart has been stirred. That's my prayer. My prayer is that your heart has been stirred and that you are taking note of this, because I'm not just staying on this because I don't have anything else to say, but I have learned I don't need to say anything unless He tells me to say it. You don't need to just hear another sermon. You need to hear what God's saying. And God is speaking to this church because the theme this year is serving. I didn't come up with that. I was praying. I said, Lord, where do you want us to go? I value every minute of my life the older I get because I recognize that my life is not mine. I cannot make it a day without Him. I can't. The older I get, the decisions I have to make, I say, Lord, I got to have you to help me make these decisions because I can't do it. I'm learning to lean on Him and trust Him because there is no other way. There is no other way. And the words that I give you, I pray, and I try to be as honest and as transparent with you as I can, because I don't want to be just another sermon, just another church service, and then we go about our way. Because I want something to happen to your life while you're here that changes things. The thought I have today is that I pray that you have been serving Him through revelation. That's what we talked about for a whole month now, about revelation, about revealing, God revealing Himself to us. And I got to say to you today that nothing else is more important in your life than a relationship with Him. Knowing Him is the greatest thing that you can ever do in your life. It isn't what we do, it's what we know, and what we do is because of what we know. Amen? And I challenge you to know Him, and if you don't know Him, we've got time to pray for you today so that you can know Him, because that's the most important thing of this service. His presence. I'm learning that His presence is more important than anything else in life, because when I don't know what to do, I can sense His presence and all peace just comes over me. Going to work in the mornings and all through the day, and you know what I'm talking about. You just call on His name and He's there. You don't know how to pray sometimes. You don't know what to say sometimes. But He's there. And I thank Him for that relationship. He loves you today. Thank God for what the men said this morning. He loves you. He loves you that He gave His only self for you. And that's the most important message. So that's part one. We've been dealing with that all through chapter 12. But now we're going to go into chapter 13, and we're going to do the second part, and that is serving from revelation. We've talked about serving through revelation. And now we want to talk about serving from revelation. Verse 1 of chapter 13 begins with the little word now. We dealt with that just a little bit, because as a transition, it would say that everything we've talked about thus far is leading to this. Now before the feast, verse 1 of chapter 13, the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, and this is the key part I want you to get right here. The first part I want you to understand is that his motivation was love. I want to ask you some hard questions today because there's some questions that you really need to think about. What is your motivation? What drives you? Why are you here? Why do you do what you do? Now think about those questions just a minute. Think about everything in your life right now, and I want to ask you a question. How many of you invited somebody here this week? Don't raise your hands, but just think about it. How many of you invited somebody here this week? You know what I found out? That when you pray and say, God, help me come across somebody that needs to go to church. Help. Do you know what he'll do? He'll send somebody. And you'll begin to talk with them, and you'll say, well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go anywhere. That's a great opportunity right there. Amen? So how many of you ask somebody to come? Don't answer. Don't raise your hands. Just think about it. I want you to take this statement right here that I'm about to make, and I want you to take it to heart. If you have done nothing with the words that God has given you this whole month, if no change has come to your life this whole month, then I guarantee you nothing different has happened to you. Does that make sense? No change, no change. You get what I'm saying? If I don't change, I won't experience change. Amen? If I don't change, I won't experience change. If I want to be better, it has got to start with my motivation. If I'm not motivated to do anything, I won't do anything. If I'm not motivated to accomplish anything, I won't accomplish anything. And I've talked to the Lord about this message because you know what? Preaching like this either stirs you or bores you. And the boring part is what bothers me as a leader. Because if you're bored with this, then you got a heart problem. Now, I hope you still love me when all this is over, but I got to tell you the truth. Amen? I just can't candy coat everything up, and then we rush off and expect change. You see, change is not going to happen universally. Well, I believe somebody ought to do something. You ever heard that? Somebody ought to do something. Well, I want to tell you where change starts. Change starts with one. Nobody can change your world but you. Did you know God will not change your world? Nor the devil can change your world. Nobody can change your world but you. The will of a person is the most powerful thing on earth. Amen. Jesus, as I read this, and I tell you, I don't know how many times I have read this because God keeps telling me, go back and read it again and read it again. At first I was thinking, well, maybe he thinks I'm just a little dummy, but that isn't it. He wants me to get it. How many of you remember when I talked about meditating on the word? Meditate. You just got to, have you ever eaten a meal sometime and just sat back? You didn't rush out. You just sat back and digested it and kind of enjoyed the moment. Well, that's what God is trying to say. You see, we're not going to change anything if we just keep doing everything the way we've always done it. And that's what gets me, because so many times we won't change, but we're not going to do nothing different. Amen? These commercials that say you can eat all you want to, ice cream sundaes and pizza and all that, and lose weight. You ain't got to do nothing. Just take this pill. I'm thinking, what planet are you from? Amen. But Jesus here begins to talk. And he's sitting in the upper room. Now, understand now that this is going to be a concourse of the upper room. Having loved his own. That's some powerful, that's a powerful verse. Because the motivation of this whole essence here is he loved us. I want you to get this right here. Effective ministry always begins out of a heart of love. I said effective ministry. There's a lot of stuff going on. How many of you know there's a lot of stuff? There's a lot of services going on this morning. There's a lot of stuff going on. And how many people are going to be changed? Effective ministry, and I look at my life and I say, am I motivated to be excellent? Am I motivated to be more? Am I motivated to do all that I can do? I have to ask myself that question. Because there's always a group that you can join up with that is satisfied with nothing. Amen? And you got to ask yourself, do I want to be a part of that group? So, effective ministry begins with a heart of love. And it says here, having loved his own. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Are you motivated? Write it down or put it in your mind or something. Or, you know, you don't want nobody to see you write it down. Just kind of put it in your mind. Amen? Because we want to project ourselves that we don't really need nothing. Boy, he really preached to somebody this morning. Amen? Turn to the one beside him and say, you really need this. Some of y'all were scared to do that. Amen. Are you motivated? Let that sink in. The second question is, what's the source of your motivation? What's the source of your motivation? So, all right, let's look here now. Verse 1 says, Jesus is about to do something mighty that will carry out through the ages. Then there's a verse 2. And supper being ended. Now that's a powerful phrase right there, and I begin to do some word study on that. Doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean that they had just got through eating. It means the preparation had been done. So we're going to get into that in just a minute. The devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Isn't that a contrast? Jesus, having loved this present world, is getting ready to sit down and love his disciples and change the world. The next verse says that Judas has allowed the devil to come into his heart. What's your motivation? I want to give you this real quick. Number one, the battle of motivation. We're talking about serving from revelation. Serving from revelation. So if I'm going to serve from revelation, I got to have some motivation to do that. So what is my motivation? Am I motivated? And what is the source of my motivation? All right, get that. Am I motivated? Because I want to tell you something. Church cannot be all that motivates you. A preacher cannot be all that motivates you. It comes through revelation. It comes through a daily life with God. It comes through a fellowship with Him day in and day out. Amen. Glory to God. I can't get that across to you enough. Oh, man. You see, is it all right if I just give to you what He gives to me? Can I just give the... You see, when you are in tune with Him and you're focused with Him, your circumstances can fall apart around you, but you're not moved with that. But when you're focused on men and things and people and all that, and they change, it changes you. Amen? So what is my motivation? Because there'll be a time when you want to give up, and you got to ask yourself, what is my motivation? So the battle of motivation, get this. Real quick, it's choice. Choice. Verse 2 said, the devil put into the heart of Judas. Now let's look at that just real quick. Judas was one that Jesus chose. Jesus chose Judas to be a disciple, to follow him, to change the world. He didn't just show up. He was chosen. And I got to get this to you this morning real quick. You have been chosen by an almighty God who we celebrated this morning by saying he gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. He did that so that in turn you could change the world. What was your motivation this week? Whose life did you change? Whose life did you impact? What are you doing with your motivation? Am I making sense this morning? The devil put into his heart, you see, choice, listen. You remember I told you, and supper being ended, verse 2? See, you gotta go study this stuff from the original Greek to understand what it means. It did not mean they were through eating. It meant that the whole discourse was involved with Jesus preparing this time together. You see, choice. We have to make a choice to prepare ourselves to minister. Choice is finding my purpose. The battle of motivation is choice. Because I have to choose every day to follow God. Because if I let my choice wander, guess what? I'll be motivated to do anything other than what God has called me to do. Does that make sense? Paul said, I have to die daily. What does that mean? That means that you have to make a choice every day. I am going to be motivated to do what God has called me to do. Well, I don't know what God's called me to do. My motivation is to find out. Amen? My motivation is to find out. Well, how do I find out? Revelation. How do I get revelation? I seek him. I pray to him. I fast. I call on his name. I say, God, begin to speak to me and show me what I need to do. Oh, church. Motivation is that heart's drive. What is in your heart? What is in your heart? Because it's out of the abundance of the heart. What does the word say? The mouth speaks. Amen? What do you love? Let me ask some more questions. What do you love the most? I guarantee you I can take your cell phone and find out what you do the most. Amen? You ever lose your cell phone? You go crazy. Amen? Where's my phone? Oh. Isn't that the truth? Because that's our connecting point. But you can look, where's your time going every day? What are you motivated to do? What are you motivated to do? That's the battle of motivation. It's when I have to make, we just think sometimes that God's going to come around and just dump ministry on us and we're just going to do it. No. God, I've already told you, you serve through revelation. I serve through revelation. I serve through revelation. My revelation is relationship with him. My revelation is prayer to him. My revelation is calling on him. He's my friend. I love him. He's my Lord. He's my master. Amen. I worship him. I love him. I call on his name all day long. And out of that revelation, I begin to serve from that revelation. Because all of a sudden, as I begin to fellowship with him, my heart breaks. And the battle of motivation is myself, is a wall. Judas had every opportunity that all the other disciples did, but Judas chose, and I'm going to give you this last thing here, the betrayal of motivation. The betrayal of motivation was he chose himself over God. Real quick. What's the cost of choice? What's the cost of choice? Look at Judas's life. Number one, recognition. What's it going to cost you? Now, this is where most people never get beyond this point, because they say, I understand the revelation part. I understand the relationship part. I understand all that. I understand the prayer part. I got all that. But I'm not quite clear with the serving from revelation, because you see, I got a lot of stuff in the from part. Time me to quit. Amen. Y'all got me time. I know it. Amen. I heard amen. Well, let's close then. Amen. I already lost you. Real quick. Lord help me. It's hard trying to get all this in 10 minutes. The cost of choice is recognition. He pleased people more than God. The second was reconciliation. It cost him reconciliation because he lost his fellowship with God. He lost his fellowship with God. And the third part was retribution, because he ended up killing himself. We got a great work ahead of us. But it's going to take choice. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you, Lord. We just pray that somebody heard something I said. Help them, Lord. We just pray that you'll help this church. Lord, be what they need to be. We give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.